Before tonight, let's look together in our scriptures to the book of St. Mark in chapter 13. I'm going to look at verses 34 through verse 37 in Mark chapter 13, verses 34 through verse 37. Preach on a subject that has at least a major portion of our lives affected us. Some of you are retired and they don't do this anymore, but work. Is your work a blessing or is it a burden? Work. Think about it. Your work, is it a blessing or a burden? That's what Jesus talks about here in Mark chapter 13. Look at verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. He says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. While you work, watch. And while you watch, work. Amen? Amen. Who invented work anyway? Who invented work? God did. God invented work. So if you don't like work, blame God. He did it. Yep. Amen. Amen. God, man's always known work. Yes. Ever since from Adam and Eve to your life and mine to every human being who has ever lived or ever will live till Jesus comes, something about your life revolves around work, doesn't it? You can go all the way back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden when God created Adam and Eve. He placed them there in the Garden of Eden. But He placed them there with specific instructions that they were to work. They were to keep busy tending the Garden of Eden. And it was a blessed work indeed, the work God called them to, until sin entered. And then work was moved from a great blessing to a great burden. You remember the story as well as I, how that the Lord told them that from now on, your work's going to be tough. You're going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. The thorns and the thistles are going to come up. They'll try to choke out the work, the plants, the things that you're trying to take care of and till. So man has known work ever since the beginning. And work was a blessed thing indeed until sin entered. And along with sin entered death, of course, in the Garden of Eden as well. So, now then, every one of us works by the sweat of our brow, just as Adam and Eve did after sin came in. Well, work has continued. And it's been a continuous toiling from the days of Adam and Eve until this very day in which you and I live. They began to experience something in their work that they had never experienced before. There hadn't been any thorns or thistles. Hadn't been any weeds that grew up voluntarily to choke out the good plants and the good things that God had done for them. So they just had to continually toil and toil and toil and toil. In this particular passage we've chosen to look at with you tonight, God gives us four good instructions to us, like He says to them, what I say to you, I say to all, watch, when He says work, four things here that He gives us about our work. And if we adhere to these things and put them to work in our lifestyle, in our work for the Lord or our ministry for the Lord, if we put these things into practice in our lives, our work for the Lord will be a blessed work and not a burden. Look at these four things briefly with me. First of all, notice this. If your work's going to be a blessed work and not a burden, first of all, we must learn to accept our gifts from God as well as our work from the Lord. Now, Paul was rather brief and blunt sometimes about some of his sayings and some of his writings. And Paul said, if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. That might be something good to kind of pass on to our politicians in the welfare system, wouldn't it? Well, to put some folks to work, amen? He says, if you don't work, you ought not to eat. Well, adult people, most of us, let's say it this way, most of us accept our responsibilities from the Lord. Most of us accept our abilities from the Lord, and we accept also our disabilities. You can't do everything. I can't do everything. You can do some things. I can do some things. We all have abilities God's given us, and we all have disabilities. But nonetheless, we learn to accept our abilities as well as our disabilities, and we just accept it, and we just go on to work for the Lord, don't we? At least that's what we should do. God is in the business of preparing us, all of us, for the work that He has prepared for us to do while we're here on this earth. We're not here by chance. God has a purpose in your life. God has something planned for you to do. God has a work for you to do. And God has prepared that work and tailored it especially for you. So God prepares us for the work unto which He has called us to do. And God never assigns us to any work, whatever it may be. God never assigns us to any work that is impossible for us to do successfully. Did you hear me? God never assigns us to any kind of work that is impossible for us to do, and to do it successfully for the glory of the Lord. Well, God takes us and puts us with our work, our abilities, our talents. God puts us and places us in certain places where He knows best where you and I need to work. He knows best what you need to do, what I need to do, and God places us in specific positions to where He can utilize your talents and my talents, your gifts and our gifts God's given us, that we can best utilize them and help somebody else, and then we can grow thereby as well, can't we? God prepares us for that. Well, Jesus compared working to eating. Did you know that? Do you ever heard Jesus say something about that? Listen to what Jesus says in John 4. Jesus said, John 4, 34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." When the work and the worker are complementary, put together by the Lord, when they're matched, work becomes a blessing and not a burden. But the work and the worker has to come together at God's discretion, then work becomes a blessing, not a burden. Work suddenly becomes, as Jesus said, a nourishment, not a punishment. A lot of folks think work's a punishment. We do sometimes. But we ought to thank God He gives us work to do. We ought to thank God He gives us health and strength to be up in the talents and the abilities to do whatever it is God's called us to do. There's very many varied talents within this congregation here tonight. Some things you can do, I can't do. Some things I may can do, you may not can do. But God puts all these abilities, all these gifts together. We got to learn to accept our gifts from God and the work God has assigned us to, and just get busy doing what it is God's called us to do. Here's where we get kind of crossed up. We think sometimes we're in competition with somebody else. No, no. God doesn't put us in the workforce, whatever it may be, to be in competition with a co-worker or somebody else. Our competition is not with somebody else, it's with us, to do the best that we can do for the Lord and do it as unto the Lord indeed. Well, those who labor for the Lord, if you'll be absolutely honest in your heart, I know that you believe this. I want the work that God has called me to. I want the work that God has assigned me to. I want the place where God's called me to labor. I want my work and my gifts God's given me to glorify my Lord. Don't you? Really, don't you? Don't you want your work to glorify God and honor Him and serve Him and one day hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joys of your Lord." So we've got to learn, first of all, to accept our gifts that God gives us, and then to put ourselves to work as God places us in different places. Well, We've got to learn to be like John the Baptist in one respect. John the Baptist said, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. That's got to be true in our lives too, doesn't it? I want the Lord to increase more in my life and more in my life and me less and less and less. It's all about Him, none about me. It's all to His glory and honor and praise. And He just gives me the privilege to take part in a work unto which He's prepared me for and prepared that for me. So we've got to learn, first of all, to accept our gifts that God gives us and accept the work that God has called us to do. That's the first thing He says here. Number two, we've also got to learn to serve the Lord faithfully from our heart. When this king left to go into a far country, he left his servants and all his workers with a specific thing to do. And he left them instructions as to how to do what it was he called them. And he commanded, he says, a porter to watch. The porter always represents the Holy Spirit of God, you know that. The Holy Spirit's watching us. He's watching the work that you do. He's watching the work that I do. I must learn then to serve my Lord faithfully from the very depth of my heart. Do you remember the story in the New Testament where this father had two sons? And he brought both sons before him and he said this, sons, go out in the fields today to work in our fields. And the one said, yes, father, I'll go. I'll go right away. But he didn't go. The other son said, no, I'm not going to work in the field. I'm just not going to do that kind of work. But he reconsidered and he did go into the field and work for his father. Now, which one of those two sons do you think got the blessing and which one carried the burden? Just think about it. We've got to learn to serve our Lord faithfully from our heart. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, we've got to remember this. We who are servants here on this earth, and we who may be masters or employers, you might say, if we're employees or whether we're employers, it doesn't matter. The truth goes across the grain to both. Employees and employers must remember that we've got a master in heaven that we're going to have to give an account to one day. So it doesn't matter who you are, how you serve. All of us have a master in heaven. And who is that? Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Paul reminds us, both as servants and as masters, that we've got a Lord in heaven that really we're going to give an account to one day. And the Bible teaches us that our Lord Jesus is always at the throne of God the Father, interceding for us every day. He meets our every need, and He's always there that we can go to Him anytime we want to, anytime we need to, and find grace or find help in the time of need. So we got to learn to serve our Lord faithfully from our heart. Here's where a lot of folks get in trouble. We're supposed to serve our employers as if we were serving the Lord. That kind of goes across grain with a lot of folks. But we are. We're to serve our employers just as if we were serving the Lord Jesus Christ. This means giving our all to the work, giving our best that we can do to the work, even to an employer. Not just doing enough to keep your job or keep from being fired from the job. Not just doing enough to outclass your co-worker who may work near you somewhere, or not doing just enough to kind of just get by. Beloved, remember something. Our co-workers, as well as our employers, they look at us from the outside. That's all they can see. But our Master in heaven looks at us from the inside. The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. God knows the motives behind what you do. God knows the reasons behind what you do. God knows if you're giving it your best. He knows if you're serving Him faithfully from your heart. He knows if you're doing just enough to get by or doing just enough to impress somebody. God knows all about it. Why we should always attempt to serve our Lord faithfully from our heart. God knows if you're cutting corners or not. God knows if you're stealing time for your employer or not. God knows all about those matters, doesn't He? Are we really doing our best? I don't know that we can ever say we've ever done our best. We could always do better, I believe, couldn't we? We could always have room for improvement, couldn't we? Yet God's not a hard taskmaster. He's not a hard slave driver, so to speak. He never assigns us to work that we can't do. Always gives us a grace and the knowledge and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to get it done. You got to remember what Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He's talking about, come unto me, all you that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm lowly and meek and lowly in heart. Then he says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So, the work for the Lord is really, or it should be, a blessing, not a burden. If we learn to accept our gifts from God and accept the work He's placed us in, and if we learn to serve our Lord faithfully from our heart, then our work will be a blessing and not a burden. There's a third thing here I want you to see. In this particular passage, this king goes away. He expects his workers, he expects his servants to do it the best they can, to serve him faithfully, remember what he's commanded them to do, and do a good job and finish the work by the time he gets back. There's a third thing we need to look at. We need to learn to finish our work that God gives us to do. And listen, do it well. Do it well. Jesus is our example. In all things, Jesus is our example. Jesus, in John chapter 17, speaks to the Father, and He says, His Father, He says, I've glorified You on earth. I've finished the work You've given Me to do. How gloriously did Jesus finish the work on the earth that God the Father sent Him here to do. And He finished it well, didn't He? In fact, He testified Himself on the cross. He said, it is finished. What do you think He meant by it's finished? The work that God had sent Him on this earth to do, it was finished. The plan of salvation that He came to bring for you and to bring for me, it was finished on the cross. And how well He finished the work that God sent Him here to do. So we ought to learn to try to finish the work God's given us to do and do it well. Do it to the best of our ability for the glory of God and by His own Spirit. Now, others in the Bible have done the work that God's called them to do. They've accepted their abilities and talents and work. They've served God faithfully from their heart, and they're finishing their work well. Let me give you some examples. Moses. We've studied Moses' life. Moses was able, with God's help, to finish the tabernacle in the wilderness before God called him home, didn't he? He finished it well, didn't he? Did a good job, didn't he? He finished that work that God had called him to do there with the children of Israel. Another example. Not too many years following, comes Solomon along. David wanted to build a temple. God said, no, you can't build a temple, but I'm going to let Solomon build it. Solomon comes on the scene, and Solomon builds the most magnificent temple that had ever been in the world in those days. And he finished the temple. He finished the work that God had called him and assigned him to do. And if you go back and read about the finishing of the temple, how the glory of God came down, the people shouted and gave God honor and glory and praise when the temple was finished. And when it was all destroyed and they built a second temple, you remember how they wept and cried and said, this temple doesn't near have the glory that the other temple had. Solomon finished his work and finished it well. We're going to finish up studying of Paul this coming week. And Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, nearing his death, Paul wrote a compassionate letter to Timothy. And he said, Timothy, my time of departure is at hand. But he said, Timothy, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've run the race. And henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul finished the work that God had called him to, and Paul finished it quite well, didn't he? Well, we need to learn to finish the work that God has called us to and finish it well. You know, I think that ought to be our prayer, every single one of us. God, help me to take the work you've assigned me to. And Lord, help me to do it faithfully, serve you faithfully from my heart. And Lord, help me to be careful that I do it for your honor and for your glory and for your praise. And Lord, when my life is lived and gone, may others say, well, he did a good job. He finished well what God called him to do. I want my work to finish well, don't you? That ought to be our prayer. God, help me to finish the work you've called me to and do a good job. You know, not trying to judge anybody's life, but you've seen the examples all as well as I have. I've seen a lot of people over my 40-some years in ministry who really begin well, but they don't end so well. I'm telling you, it's not just how you begin, it's how you end. And we need to learn to end our work for the Lord, end it well. So I don't want it to be said of me that he's one that started and just gave up along the way and didn't do any more. I want to finish what God's called me to do with his honor and glory at stake. But there's a third thing, or fourth thing rather, that he says here. We need to learn to accept our gifts and talents, our work from God. We need to learn to finish our work well. Do it from our heart. Do it for the glory of God. But then he says lastly, we need to learn while we're living in this life, we need to learn to live expectantly. Listen to what he said. He said, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. I'm going to say slouching on the job. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Nobody knows the day, the month, the hour of the Lord's coming. Nobody's going to ever know that. You can't know that. That's one of the things you can't know. So it's extremely important to us, since we do not know the day, the hour that he's going to come, but we do know he's going to come. Amen. How important it is for us, since we know he's coming, to live an expectant life, looking for him to come every day. And if he doesn't come today, look for him to come tomorrow. Just live expectantly. Our hearts just aglow, waiting for the glorious day when the Lord's going to come. We'll live with expectant life and pray every day, perhaps, Lord, today is going to be the day that you come. What a glorious day would it be today, as beautiful as this day has been, for the day to almost end and the glory of God appear and we leave this world. What a glorious day that would be. We ought to pray that, perhaps, Lord, today is the day. And if not, look tomorrow. In fact, we're commanded to watch. He says, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Work, oh yes, but watch. Watch. We're to be spiritually awake, spiritually alert, and a work for the Lord when he comes. Do you remember when Jesus went back to heaven off the mountainside in Galilee? The Bible says that those disciples just stood there and they looked up as Jesus went up into heaven on a cloud. And they just stood there gazing into heaven. And the angel appeared and said to them, men, why stand ye here gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus who you've seen go away on the cloud into heaven, this same Jesus is going to come back in like manner as you have seen him go. But don't just stand here gazing up into the heaven. Be at work for the Lord. Be alert spiritually. Do what he's called you to do. Don't just stand here gazing. Like the world, so negative. The world's so negative. Where's the promise of Jesus coming? I don't believe Jesus is coming, the world would say. It's been more than 2,000 years. You've cried, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And Jesus hasn't come in more than 2,000 years now. And I don't believe He's going to come at all, not just today or any other day. I don't believe He's coming. We can't take the negative attitude that the world takes and think, well, Jesus might come, but it'll be 1,000 years from now, sometime when I'm dead and gone. No, no, He might come the next split moment. Can't have the world's negative attitude. They sneer and they mock and they make fun as they've always done. But don't ever let your attitude be negative like the world. Stay alert. Stay working. Jesus says, occupy to when I come. So when Jesus comes, we ought to be at work for the Lord. When Jesus appears in the clouds of glory, He should take us away from whatever work we're doing for Him when He comes. Well, this crooked and perverse world in which we're living, with all of its sins, turmoil, and problems, don't believe the Lord's coming back, but He is. We who know the Lord know in our heart, in the depths of our heart, I know that there's going to be a last day for me, whether it's when I die or when Jesus comes. At the last day for me or when Jesus comes, I'm going to be delivered from this world. I'm going to a better place. I'm going to a place to serve Him where I can serve Him perfectly like I've never been able to do down here. I give Him perfect service, perfect work for the Lord when I get on the other side. So our work should be to try to please Jesus, folks, not man. The responsibility for all Christians, not just full-time Christians, people like pastors and those who are staff people and full-time music directors and full-time this and full-time that. Listen, serving Jesus is full-time. Amen? Doesn't matter if you're salaried or not. You'll get paid when you get to heaven. Amen? You will. He says, watch and work till I come. Occupy till I come. So you see, it's good for us from time to time to evaluate our work for the Lord. You have to answer this question for yourself. Is the work that you're currently now doing a blessing, or is it a burden? Let me speak for me. I can't speak for you. When God called me to preach years ago, I knew I could never be satisfied doing anything else in my life but preaching. Oh, I had to work some years beyond that call in the workforce. And I tried to do a good job, but it wasn't in my heart like it ought to be. I knew I needed to be preaching. And I knew God had called me. And I've never wanted to do really anything else since that day. So I try to evaluate what I'm doing for the Lord too, for His honor and glory and praise. I want to accept God's gifts to me. I want to accept the work that God's called me to. I want to work from my heart and serve Him faithfully. I want to just really do what I do for the glory of God. And I want to keep my eyes on the skies because I know my Lord's coming back soon. And I know I'm going to give an account one day to Him personally for the work I've done or the work I haven't done. The work I've done well or the work I haven't done so well. Nonetheless, work. If you take His yoke upon you, His yoke is easy, and His burden is light, then the work for Jesus will be a blessing, not a burden.